one of the issues facing the church today is a crisis in discipleship. We have a lot of people who are worshiping who can't stop sinning. We have a lot of people who are coming to church but still claiming to struggle. And one of the issues that we're facing today in the body of Christ is the crises of discipleship. You know, saying the prayer of salvation is the first step to coming to God, but it's only the first step. After you pray the prayer of salvation, then you need to grow as a Christian and become a Christian. And in so many churches, we have people pray, and then we write their name down, and we don't follow up, and then we don't know what happens to them later. And before we know it, they have slipped through the cracks and fallen back into sin, because even though they loved God and they prayed the prayer of faith, they could not remain a Christian because of the lack of roots inside of them. So we have to address this issue that the body of Christ is facing and how we handle discipling people. See, the word discipleship, the root word of discipleship is the word discipline. And anything that you do well, you do it because you have good disciplines. If you are a good family person, you're a good family person because you are disciplined in that area. You have commitments. You have values. There's certain things that you do. You know, in our house, every day when I come home from work, my wife meets me at the door and hugs me. Now, I'm not telling you that every person ought to do that. That's just something she decided to do years ago. She's been doing that for years. Every morning when we see each other the first time, the first thing we do is hug and tell each other we love each other. That we do it every single day at the coffee pot usually. But it doesn't matter who gets up first. It's just a part of our culture. It's a discipline in our life, which means a routine or something that we've committed to. And the same thing is true with Christianity. How will you become a Christian or remain a Christian if you don't get the discipline of prayer? If you don't get the discipline of reading your Bible? If you don't get the discipline of talking about the Bible and getting someone to explain the Bible to me? See, the problem with a lot of Christians is they're reading the Bible, but they don't understand it. And they don't have anyone to ask questions to and get their questions answered. And this is a problem the church has got to deal with. So without Christian disciplines and Christian accountability and Christian community, a lot of people who want to serve God find it very difficult to serve God because they feel isolated and they feel alone and they don't feel the support of the family of God around them because they haven't been able to connect with other Christians who can hold them accountable. But I don't mean that in a judgmental way. I just mean that when you are running with other Christians, there's a language you use and a language you do not use. There are jokes you tell and jokes you do not tell. And other Christians will hold your feet to the fire or at least set an example and not laugh at the joke so that you learn that, oh, wow, Christianity is different. I don't have one foot in the world and one foot at the cross at the same time. There is a difference in serving God and loving God and living for God. I know a lot of people that do not live for God that will say, I love God. Well, the Bible does not just say that you have to love God to go to heaven. You have to live for God to go to heaven. So how do we get people to live out a Christian life? Well, there's a way that God has designed that helps us to understand how we accomplish this in the body of Christ. It's with the three fires. And you're going to see this in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and see it in the church today as I explain it to you. First of all, fire. What intrigues us about fire? How many of you can sit and watch fire for an hour? And you just listen to the crackle, smell the smell of the smoke. I mean, give us a bonfire, a campfire, a fire pit. I mean, give us a fireplace, throw some nice wood on there. It's amazing how mesmerized we get just watching fire. But it's not just us who's intrigued by fire. Now, obviously, God uses fire, but God created fire, but God is intrigued with fire as much as we are. That's why he shows up to Moses in a burning bush. He could have shown up in a wind. He could have shown up in a snowstorm. He could have shown up as a snowman. I mean, God is God. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he chose to show up as a fire consuming a bush that was not burned, and he spoke from that fire.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
God chose fire to bring sacrifices to him. He didn't have to choose fire. He could have chosen anything. He could have chosen water. He could have chosen wind. He could have chosen dirt. He could have said, go out and bury it and I will accept it. But he didn't. God said, burn it and I will smell it. God is intrigued with fire. So much so that he puts three fires in his tabernacle, which is the place of his presence. He puts the brazen altar. He puts the menorah. He puts the fire on the altar of incense. He puts three fires in the altar. And then in the back room where the Ark of the Covenant is another fire that is supernatural that no man's hands have ever touched. It's the glory of God. God shows up in a pillar of fire to give Israel a sense of safety. He shows up as a pillar of fire. God chooses tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. How many of you know he did not have to choose tongues of fire? If he would have chosen tongues of oil, guess what? Our songs would be a lot different. We'd be slinging oil everywhere, singing about tongues of oil and trying to reproduce them. It's a wonder we don't shoot fire out in the church talking about all of that, you know, because God chose, out of all the elements of the earth, he chose a rushing mighty wind, and he chose tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost to reveal himself. God chose fire to ultimately destroy the earth at the end of all times. And he chose a lake of fire to destroy his enemies at the end of all judgment. And when Jesus is glorified, we see him. His feet looks like fine brass as it what? Burns in a furnace. And his eyes look like what? A flame of fire. So Jesus shows up as the glorified Lord in a fiery stature of fiery eyes and fiery feet. Even the seraph that we call seraphim, because there's more than that, and that's just a plural word for seraph. The word seraph means burning one, and they are creatures that are set on fire. They are molten creatures that have lightning in their skin, and their skin moves like molten bronze or brass, and they're called the seraphim, and they have the four faces of the lion and the calf and the eagle and the man's face, and they are the ones that say, holy, holy, holy before the Lord, and they look like fire. When Isaiah was called to ministry, what did he anoint him with? A coal of fire from the altar of God. So God is intrigued by fire. So God creates fires around us. So there's three fires that are very significant in the life of Israel, in the life of Jesus, and in the life of the church. The first one is the bonfire. Now, the bonfire is a place to celebrate. It's a place of gathering. How many of you have ever been to a bonfire? So bonfire is a place where you just walk around and eat snacks and you talk to people and play music. It's a place of fun. It's a place of celebration. It's usually not, you know, an intimate setting. It's usually the flame is high and you can't get too close with your hot dogs or your marshmallows because you'll get too hot. And somebody's always throwing a fire and we're watching the embers go up. And, you know, it's a fun place. So the bonfire is a gathering place for celebration. But then you have the campfire. And what makes the campfire so special is two things. The fire and the conversation. Campfires are quiet. They're not like this. If you do sing songs around the campfire, they're usually slow songs. And it's with a guitar. It's not with a PA that's blasting, you know, loud music as you would at a bonfire. This is an intimate place. And what makes the campfire so unique is that it is the place of conversation. This is the place of celebration. This is the place of conversation. And this here is a place of private intimacy. So now we come to the candle. We light candles for romance. We light candles for ambiance. We light candles to relax. It's when you want to be alone. It's when you want to be by yourself. We light candles. So God puts stations in the tabernacle, and Jesus uses all of these as examples so that we can understand that for Christians to blossom, for Christians to grow in spiritual maturity, you need all three of these fires. And if one of these fires is missing, there will always be something missing in you. You have to have these three fires. So let's talk about these for a moment. Let's go to the children of Israel. The first fire of the children of Israel would be the pillar of fire in the middle of the camp. That would be the bonfire. Now, the pillar of fire in the middle of the camp was just a place to gather. You didn't have a lot of conversations there. There's too many people. But that big fire was a gathering place where you got together to celebrate. It was that pillar of fire that led them across the Red Sea. And then they broke into song and got out their tambourines on the side of the Red Sea and had a celebration in the presence of the pillar of fire. So once again, the pillar of fire is significant of coming together and celebrating joyously in the presence of the Lord. You see, the bonfire would be representative of our worship services. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But here's the problem. Even though Israel had the pillar of fire, the bonfire, they kept sinning. The problem was is they had the glory and they kept complaining. That they had the bonfire and they still struggled. They still sinned. They needed more because they could not live before the Lord. Even with the presence of God, this great bonfire in the midst of them, they were wanting to turn back. They were complaining about water. They were complaining about meat. They were complaining about bread. They were complaining about enemies. They were complaining about their leadership. They wanted to stone Moses. I mean, all of this, and here they have the glory of God right down in the midst of them. Well, see, here's the problem. You can come to church and you can get caught up in the singing and you can get caught up in the worship and you can get prayed for 100 times, but if you don't have roots, if you don't have discipleship in you, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, you can come to the bonfire and still struggle and still live in sin. I know people that love God and they love worship, but they also love sin. They still want to sin, but they want it all. It's like the cake and eat it too thing. I want to be able to sing. I want to be able to worship, but I also want to do things that are contrary to God's word, even though I know it. I know it's wrong, but. And they want to come to church. And unfortunately, we see this in too many churches where you have people on staff, people on praise teams, people in choirs, people leading groups that are living in open sin. And they're coming to church because they love church, but they still love sin. And so the bonfire, as wonderful as it is, by itself, it's not enough. Just going, now we are a Tuesday night church, but if you were a Sunday morning church goer or a Tuesday night goer, going to church by itself is not enough to keep you solid. This by itself is not enough. If all you're doing is going to church and you're not in your Bible, it's not enough. If all you're doing is going to church and you have no prayer life, it's not enough. You're going to love God and you're going to love church, but you're also going to love your sin because it's not enough. With all of this, Israel still struggled and complained. So God said, you need more.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.